Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Danny Tarkanian. He's running for CD3. He's here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Safety is the number one priority for the trucking industry. Over $7 billion a year is spent on technology like this electronic eye that will apply the brakes automatically. But the most important factor for safety is the truck driver. These hardworking men and women who safely move over 70% of our nation's freight and 94% of Nevada's. We thank you because trucks move America forward.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
I'm Scott Peterson. We're spurring on the Western Legacy. June 16th through the 25th. For tickets, call 800-325-SEAT or visit renorodeo.com. Come join us at the Reno Rodeo.
As a Nevada business owner, you know how important your workers' comp, accidents, and premiums are to your bottom line. Pro Group provides the leading workers' comp programs in the state. So when we're on your team, your hard-earned dollars stay right here in Nevada. With us, your premiums are an investment in your business. We provide long-term security and stability for your company. Pro Group prides itself on being a Nevada business that does business in Nevada. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome back to the program Danny Tarkanian. He's running for CD3. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
It's nice to be back. It's been a while, and it's always good to be on your show.
Thank you. We did invite the Senate Majority Leader, Michael Robeson, to be on this program to participate in a debate, and we never heard back from his campaign. So
that has been a trademark of his. He backed out of another debate also.
Apparently so. There's a couple of things that have been raised in the media lately that that I think you'd like to refute, and so I want to give you the opportunity to do that here.
You know, virtually everything Robeson said I want to refute because true. So,
you have the opportunity, and if he's willing at some point to come on the program, he would have his voice heard as well.
Well, I mean, virtually everything he's done from promoting himself has been lies to the public, and everything he said about me has virtually all been lies to the public. At first he said that he cut taxes for 95% of all small businesses, and when PolitiFact called him out as being just not truthful on that, he took that down, and now he's saying other things. He's come out with a lot of personal attacks on me, a lot of them that were used in previous campaigns, including the one that I won a defamation lawsuit on, $150,000 judgment against the guy who used those attacks on me last time, and Robeson has decided he's going to try to use them again in this race, and hopefully that doesn't work out. That's dealt with when I work as an attorney. The other thing is, the one that's really the most vicious of them all was a TV ad. He spent about $300,000 running a television ad that had one truth to it. My family and I, we had to file bankruptcy over a real estate deal that went poor just before the recession, like a lot of people here in Southern Nevada, actually in the whole state of Nevada. People in the real estate business understand what we went through, and that was it. And Robeson couldn't just leave it at that. He had to make up some lies saying I was involved in some unethical and just honest allegations, and all of it was a bunch of lies. Instead of rehashing all that and giving him some kind of airtime of what they were, I just, you know, what you do is you say, hey, they're a lie, let's get back to what the public really wants, and they want to know, how are you going to represent us in Washington, D.C., compared to how Robeson will. And that's what our campaign has tried to do. We stayed on message talking about his voting record as a state legislator and how that would translate to his voter record in Congress, and whether he's actually been true in his campaigning, what he's telling the voters he'll do when he gets back to Washington, D.C.
Okay, so contrast his votes in the state legislature with what he would do in Washington, in your opinion.
Well, first of all, when Roberson ran for the state Senate, he signed the no-tax pledge and promised not to raise taxes. Then he went back to Carson City, and he not only passed the largest tax increase in state's history, he was the guy pushing it through. In addition to that, he voted 29 times for tax increases out of 29 bills, 100% more than most of the Democrats did. I think it's pretty obvious that when he goes back to Washington, D.C., particularly with all the pressure you get for those special interest groups and everything, he's going to raise taxes every chance he has. He authored the bill that would authored the resolution to encourage Congress to grant amnesty and a pathway to citizenship for people in our country illegally. So I think it's pretty clear that if he went back to Washington, D.C., he's going to vote for amnesty and a pathway to citizenship for illegal immigrants. He voted to implement Common Core here in the state of Nevada, so I think he's going to be a big proponent of Common Core in the federal level. You can't say that you're for these things here in Nevada, but I promise you when I get back to Washington, D.C., I won't be for them. You can fool the public once, but I don't think they're going to fall for it a second time.
So one of the things that I think maybe surprised you as much as anybody else is how much money you've raised in this cycle. What do you think that indicates?
Well, there's a number of reasons why, but I'll tell you, coming into this race, I felt I had to raise $500,000 to win it, and that just blew off the charts, and Roberson reported his first quarter number. I think he raised almost $500,000. So we're close to getting $700,000, if not over $700,000 already. I think there's three things that you contributed to. One, there's some really wonderful people that have stayed with me and have agreed to contribute to me even after they did in some previous losses. One guy, Lud Carrero, up in Reno, has just been unbelievable for me. The second thing is there are a number of people that just don't like Michael Roberson personally, or maybe doesn't like what Michael Roberson did as a legislator, so we reached out to some of those people. And the third thing is just I knew how important this race was to me, and I know how important fundraising is, that I've gotten on the phone, and I mean this, there's no fibbing here, there's virtually nine straight months I was on the phone, an hour and a half in the morning, an hour and a half in the afternoon, just making one call after another from people that I didn't know and asked, hey, would you just please meet with me so I can talk to you about my race? Maybe after 100 calls, you get two people that'll meet with you, and usually those two people contributed. So a lot of hard work, uncomfortable work, because nobody, the worst part of campaigning is getting on the phone and making cold calls to people and asking them for money. But I know how important this race is, so I really concentrated on it, and a lot of things fell into place. I'm very, very thankful and blessed for it.
Let me ask you about this, because it's got to come up on the campaign trail a lot, is the Donald Trump effect. What effect is that happening with the people you're talking to, and how do you think it's affecting your actual race?
In the primary, I think the vast majority of voters in CD3 are Donald Trump supporters. In fact, we know that because we're out doing ID calls for the congressional race. We'd asked who you support in the presidential race, and over 50% of the voters that we had contacted said they supported him. You need to remember that in this Republican primary for the caucus, more than twice as many people came out to vote, and Trump won the state going away, than they did in 2012, which means there's a lot of enthusiasm for him here on the Republican side. Now that's, you know, we'll see what happens in the general election, how that carries over. But I think in the primary, there's a huge Donald Trump wave, and I've had a number of people that have contacted me in my campaign and said, do you support Donald Trump? And I said, yes, I support Donald Trump. And they said, well, good, if you did, we'd never vote for you. I mean, there are flat out people that will only vote for you if you support Trump.
And has this affected the way you're running your campaign? Are you picking up on more themes that are Trump-like, or?
No. I mean, Trump, you can't try to copy what he's doing because it would blow up in your face. Every other candidate that ever tried to do what Trump did before, it's blown up on him, and I think if you try to, it would do it again. He's got his own way, and somehow it's working for him. What we try to do is we try to talk again. The guy we believe, the person that is our primary opponent is Michael Roberson. We believe that his voting record is not something 10% of the Republican primary voters would go for. The key for us was to get it out to the public, educate them what that voting record was, and continue to educate them and overcome the deceitful responses and mail pieces and TV ads that Roberson would throw out. That's been our goal, and I think we stuck with it, and I think it's going very well so far.
All right. Let's take a break and come back and talk issues with you, all right?
Sounds good.
We'll be right back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to nevadanewsmakers.com.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. You ask, are we busy? Here's United Construction, 700,000 square feet of distribution. This is SJS Development. They're grading for their new facility. This is eBay's new data center under construction. TRI offers 30,000 acres of industrial property. It's ready to build, and there's room for you. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. We're building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance, custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada, and we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends. Play the hottest slots and video games. Join the Conductors Club and earn comps and free play. Meet your friends at Sully Sports Bar and feast on juicy burgers, wings, big beers, and all your favorite cocktails. Download the Tamarack Junction mobile app for exclusive food and gaming offers right from your phone. The Tamarack Junction, where friends meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Danny Tarkanian, who's running for CD3. Let's talk about immigration. You were talking about your opponent's position, but tell me a little bit about your opinion on immigration.
I don't think immigration is a real tough situation, except that I don't think either party wants to find a solution to it. I think most people would agree that we need to protect our borders. That's, one, a national security interest, and two, you don't want to have just anybody coming across the borders and you can't control that. So we need to do, first of all, protect our borders and make sure we're secure in who comes in and out, and that includes overstaying your visas. 40% of all the illegal immigrants in our country are people that overstayed their visas. There's no reason we can't track those people with today's technology and make sure we know where they're at and make sure they leave when they're supposed to leave. The second thing is we need to make sure that we eliminate enticements for people to come in illegally and reward people that do that. If you take away those enticements, the primary one is getting jobs here in our country, and the way you do that is with the E-Verify. It's a law that's out there that really isn't enforced, and it should be enforced, and make sure that all employers are required to make sure they only hire people that are here in the country legally. Take away the incentives of people coming here illegally. And then the third thing is you need to, one, have an answer, and it can't be what we're doing now, where people come across the border and you stop them, and then all of a sudden you give them a notice that you show up to court 18 months later, and then you let them go into the general population. There has to be a way that you can process the people and see the ones that are actual refugees that are entitled to stay here and the ones that are not, and you can remove them quicker than that. You can't expect people that come into the country illegally like that and are going to be removed once they have their court hearing to show up for court. And I think the thing that bothers me the most about the situation is the sanctuary cities, where you have cities that just say, we're not going to enforce the federal law and snub your nose at it, and you see what's happening in San Francisco and so forth. We should eliminate all federal funding to any city that does that. Then once those things are done, then you got to find an answer to what do you do with the people that are here illegally, that have been here and acclimated to the country, and that haven't broken the laws and that have children here. And that, you know, that's an open discussion, and we can get into that. But you can't make that decision until after you do the other things first.
Okay,
and that's the problem I see that we have in the current political environment. The Democrats want to talk about the last step that should be taken and force the answer to Republicans. The Republicans don't want to talk about that last answer until we correct the problem, and that's the way I feel.
But, you know, going back a few years, it was John McCain and President Bush who were trying to work with the Democrats in the form of Harry Reid, to pass immigration reform, and then the political pressure that came down on John McCain was enough to blow that up.
Because
so it's not just been Democrats that were trying to do this. But let me ask you something specific about...
I did say both parties don't want it passed. The Democrats don't want to pass because it's their voting bloc. The Republicans don't want to pass because a lot of the Republicans want to have the cheaper labor and so forth. The Chamber of Commerce is all in favor of this. It has to be a bipartisan deal, but you can't get to the final solution until you solve those initial problems I just mentioned first.
Okay, on your website you talk about building a wall. Do you really think that that's a practical solution? Because the economic numbers of that, it would be hundreds of billions of dollars. And is that, you know, as a fiscal conservative, is that something you can support?
Look, there's a huge cost to illegal immigration to go with, and you would have to offset certain things. Building the wall is a terminology of securing the border. If you can secure the border some other way that's cheaper with our current technology and somehow prevent people to coming in here without permission, then that would be the better approach. If you can't and the wall's the best approach, then yeah, you have to do that. Look, I don't believe there's too many people in America that really, I bet you there's not too many Latino people in America that don't believe that we have to have a secure border and make sure we know who's coming in and coming out of our country. We're in a war of terrorism that has already infiltrated the European countries and had mass murders. We've had one here in the United States with somebody who actually deceived the people from coming in illegally.
Let me interrupt you for a second just to say that terrorism has not been a problem coming across the southern border of the United States. We have more concern with people, as you were talking about earlier, coming over on visitor visas or student visas. We're not going to be able to stop that. But let me also ask you about...
Okay, but let me just answer that. You can't... As I said in the beginning, you have to solve the full problem of securing the borders. It's not the southern border only. It's also the northern border. It's also the people overstaying the visas. You have to find a way to secure who's coming in a country and who's not. Do you not agree with that? Don't you want to have a system where we can protect people coming in the country and making sure that the ones that are here legally?
I'm in favor of comprehensive immigration reform, just as was passed during the Reagan administration. But unfortunately, after that law was passed, the follow-up wasn't done, and that's why we ended up in the situation we're in today.
The follow-up, I would assume you mean, is they didn't secure the borders. They continue to give enticements to people to come in here illegally.
Okay.
They continue to have
If you're using the phrase cities. To secure the borders, what they didn't do was they didn't do the enforcement that was to be put in place after the Reagan administration signed off on that bill. And that was resulted in all these years from 1986 through now of where this problem has continued to grow. But let me ask you this. In CD3, are you not concerned that this kind of stand hurts you with the Hispanic community?
I want to do what's right for our country, and I'm not saying that as a political thing. What's right? You know, I'd mentioned the Lud Carrero guy because I respect him so much as a supporter. He said, Danny, when you go back to Washington, D.C., don't sell yourself out. Do what your heart and your soul tells you to do, and that's what I'm going to do when I'm elected. If it hurts me with some voters because I say that I want a country secure, that we know who's coming in and out, and we can protect the people who live in our country, then you lose those votes. But I think the vast majority of people, and like I said, I think a lot of the Latino community would agree with this, as long as they understand there's a solution with all of these different components put in place. You just mentioned Reagan did it, but he didn't put those other components in place, and we had the same problem now. We'll have the same problem again 20 years from now if we don't take these first steps first that I just mentioned.
Well, those restrictions were in place, they just weren't enforced. Let's take a break. We'll come back more with Danny Tarkanian after this timeout.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. What is Switch? The answer? They represent the most dynamic growth industry in the United States today. Data storage, the information of the world. Here they're building the first of many 1 million square foot facilities. It's in their new campus. It's for eBay. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevada.
Accidents happen every day. They change lives in an instant.
But what happens next is critical. That's why you need expert legal representation.
We worked for the insurance companies. We know their tricks.
Galloway and Jensen, we fight for you.
We'll be right back. Tickets are on sale now. Call 775-348-PACK.
Before your summer adventure can start outdoors, you better come indoors to Carson Dodge Ram, where you'll discover just how easy it is to save on over 200 Ram trucks. Save on a 2016 Ram 1500 Quad Cab 4x4 starting at $29,900. Or the 2016 Ram 2500 6.7-liter Cummins Diesel Crew Cab 4x4, just $41,000. The drive and discover event at Carson Dodge Ram, where Ram trucks really do cost less. Thank you. See CarsonDodge.com.
Accidents happen every day. They change lives in an instant.
When you've been injured, you're going to have questions.
We have the answers and the experience.
Call Galloway and Jensen, 333-7555. We fight for you.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Danny Tarkanian. He's running for CD3. Again, on your website, you want to see massive tax cuts. Where are you going to take the money from to return money to the people when we're already in such deficit?
Great question. Easy answer. Our tax code is littered with special tax breaks that are we're losing hundreds of billions of dollars every year because of the tax breaks and loopholes that are provided in our tax system. First and foremost, the inversions that are going on right now, and for the viewers that don't know what that is, that's major companies here that hide money overseas in small countries that aren't taxed as much. We lose over $100 billion a year, every year in tax revenue. General Electric, one of the wealthiest and most profitable countries in the whole world, has not paid any federal taxes for several years because of this loophole. Other countries are taking over the same thing.
What they say is that if you lower the tax rate to a more acceptable level, because I believe it's around 35%, that they would bring that money back to the United States.
Well, isn't that what I just said? We lower the tax rate, and then we tax them on all of it. You can't have the loophole. You're saying they're voluntarily going to do it. I'm saying we have to enforce and say you're not going to get away with it. You're not going to enjoy the benefits that this country provides businesses like yours to make the profits they do. And I don't have the answers how we're going to pass a law to enforce it. But you can't continue to say big businesses that can afford to hide money overseas are not going to pay any tax money on it and then keep that money overseas, which hurts us from reinvesting here.
Oh, okay.
And then charge smaller businesses the highest corporate tax rate in the whole world. It's not fair, and we need to get them taxed.
Okay, so as I understand it, your ending part there added up. But basically what you're doing by offering this is you are giving a lower tax rate to these corporations to bring the money back.
No. I'm not going to. I absolutely am against saying, hey, you bring the money back on a one-time basis and we're going to charge you a few dollars. No, that's what General Electric and those other countries want. What I'm saying is you charge everybody, lower the corporate tax rate for everybody. Whatever it is now, 37, 39%, you lower it to whatever is a competitive rate around the country, say it's 20%. You make General Electric pay that full 20%, and when they want to bring that money back in, you make them pay the 20%. Then if you're paying 20% and you're getting all the money, you get those hundreds of billions of dollars that we're losing tax revenues from this practice, and it's coming into our tax system, and therefore it pays what we lost from the 39% tax rate down to the 20% tax rates for the poor companies here that are getting basically screwed by the process.
Okay, but we would still have a deficit, no?
Well, you talk about what's already out there. There's other things, too. We the subsidies that we give to the ethanol industry, the oil industry, which is anti-Republican stance, $20 billion a year. You know, those things need to end. The corporate welfare is wrong. It'd be other companies are out here trying to compete and make it work. The sugar industry subsidies that we want to do because you have a powerful lobbyist or a powerful senator that wants to protect them. Look at those things. If you end those things and you make everybody pay their fair share, we're going to have a lower tax rate, which will probably bring in more tax revenue. And in addition to that, we're going to stimulate the economy because there's going to be more money here that's being reinvested here. And you're going to pay down the debt. Now, there's some things you got to do cutting it. I mean, obviously, you got to do something with Social Security. The simple answer to Social Security that I don't understand why people don't talk about, probably because they don't want to get the seniors scared, is when Social Security was first passed in 1930, the average life expectancy was 19 years less than it is now.
Right.
Well, why haven't we raised that age limit before you can receive it?
I couldn't agree more.
Well, that would help keep Social Security solvent, but you don't hear anybody talk about that. And the reason is the seniors will get scared they're gonna lose out on that. You got to have a certain grace period where people know this is happening, but then raise that rate and raise it so it's a reasonable period that goes along with what was the intent of Social Security.
Let me ask you about Obamacare. You want to get rid of Obamacare, but what do you think about the idea of Medicare for everyone, maybe starting at 55 as against 65?
Look, my dad had
about a minute, by the way.
My dad had a friend in Canada, And he was telling the story of how he had to get a heart transplant, and he was never going to make it because he would have like an 8 month or 18 month waiting period because of the single payer system, and there wasn't enough doctors, enough ability to treat him. Fortunately for him, several people died in front of him, and he got that done. Anybody who looks at the single payer system understands you may get more people treated, you're going to have worse treatment, longer wait periods, and it's going to be more expensive than it is now, which is what's happening with Obamacare. The free market principles, it's got to get back to where the consumer makes the choices and they have to pay the price for those things. If they have to pay to go in to see a doctor, people do, they're going to be more cautious of when they go in to see the doctor or if they want the product done. I know we're running out of time.
We are, but the bottom line is I couldn't agree with you more that Obamacare from a fiscal standpoint is not working. The premiums are too high. The deductibles are too high. But my wife's on Medicare, and I'm telling you, man, it's not a bad deal at all. But good luck on the campaign trail. I hope we see you again soon.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me on.
You're always welcome. We'll be right back.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
The Pizza Baron is celebrating over 40 years in business. As a way to thank you, Reno and Sparks, the Pizza Baron is offering a large two-topping pizza and 1 pound of wings with fries for $19.95.
We deliver for 40 years.
Piping hot all over town.
Hey, Northern Nevada, check this out. Do you need a car or truck? Think agent775.com, the credit agent. Have you been denied an auto loan in the past? Do you have bad credit? No credit? Have you had a bankruptcy or a repossession? Well, don't stress it. Agent 775 is here to help. Don't be denied. Get driving today. Go to agent775.com and stop dreaming of getting a new car or truck and get one right now. That's agent775.com, the credit agent.
Welding is one of those great things. You can use electricity and metal and form it into large, awesome things, either buildings or artwork. There's a whole lot of opportunity for welders in the current region. I would recommend CSUN to other people, and I actually have several times because they helped with everything from start to finish, even putting me in a job after I graduated.
I'm Dr. Brian Hansen. We at ProSpinal want to help you get back to a pain-free and active life without the use of drugs or surgery, and here's how we do it. Non-surgical spinal decompression gently increases the space between two spinal segments to slowly increase the disc height. As the disc draws back in, pressure on the nerve root is removed. The result, a non-surgical, non-painful procedure to get you out of pain. In most cases, our patients feel relief within the first 3 days, but if that's not the case, we refund the cost of care and refer you to the most appropriate physician. There is so much to do in the area. Shouldn't you enjoy doing it without pain? Our consultations are always free, so call us today. It's time to get your life.
The Pizza Baron is celebrating over 40 years in business. As a way to thank you, Reno and Sparks, the Pizza Baron is offering a large two-topping pizza and 1 pound of wings with fries for $19.95.
We deliver for 40 years.
Piping hot all over town.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. We'll see you on the next broadcast.